And welcome to Connections. It's Monday. I'm Bill Newell, along with Rick Moore. This is our daily news interview feature program, and we are going every day of the week, weekday mornings, here at about 10 o'clock here on MSONewsSports.com. And Rick, wow, what a weather day we have. We just actually updated North Shore Today Post with a Marty Smith photo of some down lines and power outages in North Beverly, and I'm sure if it's happening in North Beverly, it's happening in other places with all this wind and miserable cold rain. What a rotten day.
I have one of these big patio heaters that, you know, we use out back, and basically we go out, have a cup of coffee every morning when it's not raining or snowing, and all year round, put the heater on when it's cold, watch the our bird feeders and so on, and sort of just kind of get ready for the day. Well, I got up this morning, and the thing was on its side and smashed, and it's one of those, you know, great big ones, so the wind must have been really something, because it had a full propane tank in it. So, yeah, I'm a little surprised. I haven't been out, obviously, yet to see if there's any damage around Cape Ann. But very, very high winds. Not a lot of rain, but very high winds.
So tell us about our two guests we have coming up, Joe Cardoza and B. Reardon, all coming up in today's program.
Well, Joe Cardoza, first of all, we had him on one of Greg Verga's Unfinished Music programs a while back. He and his wife, Renee, they are sort of a folk rock duo, but they play in many other bands. And music is their life, Bill. This is what they do. They have a brand new baby, and they're trying to support, you know, their family right now without having a lot of gigs. So they have come up with a kind of a creative way to keep things going. And on Monday nights, they have a live program that Joe hosts with a friend. And it's online, and we hope to be able to link to that. You can hear Joe talk about it. But basically, it's an open mic night to keep the music alive on the North Shore for those bands and those people who aren't able to perform, you know, in restaurants, in places where there are people.
Right, and we got a bunch of other guests coming up later this week. We'll tell you more about that, including Lori Ehrlich from State Representative, and Diane DeSaglio, State Senator. Lisa Dana, the superintendent of schools from Danvers, just to name a few of the guests that we do have coming up later this week.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Bill, and I do want to mention B. Reardon. B is a counselor in Gloucester, and she is a licensed social worker. She offers some tips on just coping, just general things that I think most people might know, but you might not. She gives a few tips on how to handle the extra added stress of the moment. And I think you'll find it pretty informative.
Hey, speaking of that, if you're listening to us now, you've got to go to our North Shore Today post to look at our two videos of the day, because we have two videos regarding, you know, staying in, isolating, distancing for too long. So you got to have a little patience with them, but they're both great videos that were big on social media over the last several days. So do check those out on our North Shore Today post. Videos of the day are down at the bottom. And also in this segment here, we usually just touch on another story or two that didn't make our North Shore Today News podcast. But Rick, I'm pointed by a story that was in today's Daily Item. No surprise here, but David McClellan writes from the item staff that the Attorney General's office is looking into price gouging. I'll say no more than that, but hand sanitizer, face masks, rip off a face mask. Be wary of those kinds of things. And if you've ever gone online lately and looked at the price of hand sanitizer, it's crazy. So do watch out for price gouging, and hopefully some of this stuff will subside, these rushes on things like hand sanitizer, and Purell will be back in our lives soon. Rick?
As long as it's not in our stomachs, I've got an update from Gloucester in a second here. But, you know, Bill, I was watching it was on Channel 5 last night. A nurse, I don't know if it was in Boston or where it was, but she came out in the morning to go to work or whatever, and her car had been stolen. And you see these isolated stories where people are doing pretty nasty things. And, you know, I don't think we're close to martial law, but there's that sniff of martial law in some places. And, you know, if martial law were the case, in terms of riots and so on, you go back to the 60s in Chicago and Detroit and those places, and there was a time when you could shoot people for looting and things like that. And I just think people who do these kinds of things take advantage of it, whether it's price gouging or or stealing people's cars. I mean, that there's a special place in hell for those people, I think. I really do. It's just like, what are you doing? You know, and I'm sitting there yelling at the TV, shoot him, shoot him. But wow. Obviously that, yeah, well, yeah, really. I mean, come on. Not that I would, but it's just you get this pent up. I guess maybe I've got cabin fever. But let me just update what the Gloucester mayor has, Bill, and then I'll get off here. Mayor Safathia Romeo Taken put out the most recent update. I believe it was on Friday, and she said that as of Thursday, there had been a total of 120 confirmed cases of COVID-19 in Gloucester, 4 hospitalized, 53 in isolation, 56 who have recovered, and sadly, 7 who have passed away. The number of cases in the state, as we know, continues to rise as testing becomes more widespread. More testing makes more data and more information available. And then she says, we don't have enough data yet, and we need that data for what comes next. But I don't know how you get tested. I don't know how you do the antibody thing or whatever. So anyway, I'm just reading from the website. Again, in Gloucester, 120 confirmed cases as of last Thursday.
Stay tuned. And speaking of staying tuned, Joe Cardoza, musician, and again, the Monday Night Jam thing coming up here in just a second with Rick, and Rick will then be talking with B. Reardon, mental health counselor, all just ahead here today on Connections. This season, start with a winning mortgage rate from your hometown team. Whether you are thinking about buying a new home or condo or refinancing your existing one, our loan rates are among the lowest anywhere. Check out our full menu of rates and terms and apply online 24/7 at institutionforsavingsloans.com. institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Professional builders and remodelers choose Anderson Windows more than any other brand in the United States. They do so because Anderson Windows and patio doors offer beautiful natural wood interiors, low-maintenance exteriors, and outstanding energy efficiency. See the complete line of Anderson Windows at any of our 3 locations in Beverly, North Reading, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
All right, back. We are back now with Joe Cardoza. And Joe, it's Joe and Renee, or Renee and Joe? Which one is it?
Renee and Joe.
Renee and Joe. Okay. Well, that's smart. Happy wife, happy life. Joe of Renee and Joe, and also of well-known on the North Shore and up on the Cape Ann area, a musician, and we're checking in with Joe. It's been a while. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, now we had you on a couple years ago with Greg on Unfinished Music, and tell me a little bit about the music scene for you personally and for your band and how you guys have done, let's say, prior to March of this year.
Prior to March. Well, yeah, Renee and I have been just kind of self-releasing and writing music as we can. The duo is kind of our outlet for our original project.
Mm-hmm.
We both work in a lot of other bands. She sings with Safety, which is an 80s cover band, and sings with a wedding band. And I play with Groove Therapy, with a, you know, rock trio or quartet. And we both play with What Time Is It, Mr. Fox.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Renee and Joe project has really just been our creative outlet, which is really cool because we're both songwriters.
What's it like for a family of musicians? What is it like at home in terms of who has what gig and so on coming and going or going together? And what do you talk about?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, at this point, like first serve, and once somebody gets that date in the calendar, the other person's kind of on baby duty unless a really good opportunity comes up, and then it's, you know, up to that person to find some good coverage. And we're lucky that my mom and her mom and we've had a lot of help from our families.
Well, you know the baby's going to be a musician, too, because, you know, the 9 months prior to his being born, I'm sure he was exposed to some pretty cool tunes.
Yeah, Renee was still working that whole summer with the Sultans, with this GB band, and she was traveling and doing gigs, and she's been pretty amazing this whole time.
That's tremendous. That is awesome. Well, now tell me a little bit about what's going on now, because with everything shut down, and we've been talking with business owners, and in a sense, that's what you are, who have been impacted by this thing, Joe. And what's the immediate impact on you guys with not having these gigs to do?
Well, the one that we've been most successful keeping going in this in a new way has been the Monday Night Jam, which I was, you know, we were running, Dennis Monago and I were running at the Minglewood Tavern, and we've been able to do that by video. We kind of use our jam page as a hub, and people are doing their open mic sets from their house.
Mm-hmm.
And they can, you know, they're putting it on their individual pages, but mm-hmm. we can use our Monday Night Jam page. People can look there and see all the different performers as they go on.
So Dennis hosts from his place, and you host from your studio, and then the performers would be somewhere else?
Yeah, actually, Dennis has been kind of working as MC, and then Renee and I have been kind of acting more as performers and doing a set every Monday.
Oh, cool.
Which has been a lot of fun. The baby's only interrupted us once, but we do it most of the time.
What is it like? I mean, this is a unique experience, I would think, you know, playing to a camera.
Yeah. We're usually like, you know, I'm really dependent on the energy that you get from the crowd and then from your bandmates. And I'm, you know, I'm lucky that we're, Renee and I are still together to play music. I think it's mostly that energy, just trying to keep that up and just keep creating it, where it's usually kind of recycled.
Now, this Monday Night Jam, tell me a little bit more about it, what the future looks for it right now, you know, before the tavern opens back up again, and maybe some of the performers that you have had on or will have on.
Yeah, we've had from Amanda Cook, who has been kind of a regular listener and singer. She's been singing and playing songs on her ukulele every week. And then, you know, Renee and I have been working out mostly new cover tunes so far, but we've been playing every week. And my dad did a set last week, and we've had people, Pete Copeland kind of played his drums along with some tracks, which was cool. And we've had people that we thought were drummers sing and play guitar, and people have really been surprising us. And a couple people with pedals playing with backing tracks, and people are getting really creative. And it's pretty neat to see what everybody comes up with. And it's, you know, we're talking about 15, 20 minutes, like mm-hmm. three or four songs.
Okay. And so that the whole jam or each individual group?
Each individual. And we've
okay.
been running it from like maybe 8 o'clock until about 11.
Okay. What's been the response so far? Because I got to tell you, you know, we binge-watched everything that we like. There's nothing left anymore, so I'm looking for new outlets.
Oh, yeah, definitely tune in on Monday. You know, I'd say there's from, you know, like a dozen to we've had, you know, I feel like Renee and I have had 40 or 50 people watching on a Monday night, which is awesome. It's pretty much the same. Like I said, a lot of the regulars, but then you get friends and family, and it's kind of touching into this totally different audience for the jam, which is good. I'm hoping that translates to people coming to check it out in person once we're back up and running.
Well, we want to spread the word. So how do we get to this? I'm not all that astute on you know, multimedia or the internet, but explain to me how I can watch this.
Dennis Monago is really our social media guru, but if you type in the jam with Dennis and Joe, or go from the Minglewood Tavern page
mm-hmm.
On Facebook, you can find us there.
Okay, we'll link to that because we definitely want to promote this. And the other thing is, Joe, the whole idea of this stuff, that what we're doing at MSO, we're trying to promote more of the community involvement. So many people at this particular time are trying to do the right thing. They're trying to to contribute and trying to help other people out. And, you know, for musicians, it's a hard life sometimes. Is there a way that people can either contribute or donate, or how does that work?
Yep. Yep. We have a link to Venmo, and that is going to be on the same page. Well, I'll have to connect you with Dennis, too, so you can talk to him about kind of about the social media end of it, too, because he's been kind of more of our MC and linking up to people that way, which has been really helpful because it's not my strong suit.
Yeah. Well, me either. That's why I got people to help me. My daughter, she's the big one. Anyway, if there's anything else we can do, let me know. But in the meantime, do you have a program scheduled for this Monday?
Not yet. Nope, but as soon as we do, it'll be up on that Facebook page. You know, you can bet that Renee and I will be doing a set. We've been playing around 9:15 every Monday.
Okay, and I got to tell people, of all the stuff that we did with Greg Verga at Unfinished Music in his studio, and we've done a lot of stuff, and there have been some fantastic people, but yours is the sweetest sound I've heard, so I'm really happy to be reconnecting with you guys. So that's Joe Cardoza. He is one of the hosts of the Monday Night Jam at Minglewood Tavern, which is now online.
I'm Bill Newell along with Rick Moore today on Connections. Just ahead, Bea Reardon will be joining us. Rick's conversation with her just ahead. Stay with us.
Harrington Trophy has been rewarding the North Shore for over 30 years with quality custom awards, screen printing, embroidery, and more. We pride our family-owned business on our exceptional customer service and quality products for the right price. Custom t-shirts, sweatshirts, warm-up suits, hats, along with the area's top trophies, plaques, glass awards, we are the one-stop shop for end-of-the-year banquets or advertising your small business through apparel. Come see us at Harrington Trophy, Chestnut Street, Lynn, or harringtontrophy.com.
Enjoy the taste of summer all year round at Cherry Farm Creamery. Pick up an ice cream cake for that special occasion. Cherry Farm Creamery offers the best ice cream right off Route 128 on Conant Street in Danvers. Or visit them at cherryfarmcreamery.com.
All right, we're back now with a friend of mine, Bea Reardon, who is a licensed clinical social worker in Gloucester and an all-around good person. Hi, Bea. How are you?
I'm good, Rick. How are you?
Oh, we're doing very well, all things considered. And that's what I want to talk about, is how well we are doing, all things considered.
Yeah, that's exactly the question of the season, I guess. Hopefully just one season, but
yep.
It's definitely the question in everybody's mind. Well, you know, as you said just in that brief introduction, I'm a clinical social worker. I provide individual family and child services for counseling, really a wide variety of problems. And normally I would be sitting with people in my office, getting to know them, helping them with specific things that they want to work on, and sometimes it's working with parents to give them some ideas of how best to understand and work with their children. Sometimes it's helping couples communicate better, and individuals who might be dealing with anxiety, depression. So those mm-hmm. are the things I normally would be working on with people. But we'd be sitting together.
Right, exactly.
And that's the big thing that's changed. So we're not sitting together right now. We're all, using our social distance. And so what I've really had to transform my practice very quickly into a totally remote practice. Mm-hmm. So I'm doing video chats and for some who prefer telephone work with everybody. I'm not meeting with anybody in person anymore. And it's been an interesting, we've all been tossed into the pool, so to speak, to, sink or swim with everything that's going on. And we continue to be available to people, and so I had to learn something new pretty quickly.
That's interesting that you should mention this in terms of counseling, because I never even thought of this until you just mentioned it. When you're in a counseling session, when you are advising someone in person, you're also reading the person, are you not? You're reading the body language. You're seeing
exactly.
if that person's with someone else, the interaction with other people. So it's kind of a new ballgame doing it all on the phone.
It totally is, and you know, and some people, I guess the majority, are doing it, you know, through a, we use a HIPAA compliant video chat kind of format, so similar to Zoom, but it, you know, kind of covers the things that we as therapists need to make sure we have privacy for the people we're working with. So so yeah, I do, you know, when doing the video work, I do have some of the visual cues, but it certainly is different. You know, when I'm in the room with someone, as you can imagine, you know, you don't just pick up on, there's even a, how would I say, I guess in a very general way, I'd say you pick up on a vibe, you pick mm-hmm. up on a mood, you know, how is someone really doing, even, which can be very different than how they're saying they're doing. So so those cues are really important. And with the people I'm working with, I was fortunate to start this all with people I've already known for quite a while. So then when I'm on the phone with someone, even though I'm not getting any of those other cues, I know them well, okay. And they, you know how we're working together. So so I'm the first month or so of this was just with people that I already knew.
I see, yep, okay.
The one group that I really can't work with are the younger children that I would see, and we would do really work in, with art or play, and that just really can't happen, although I've made sure to say hi to all of those kids. We really can't work together until we're all back to normal. But I would say the majority of people that I'm working with, you know, I'd been working with for a while, so that helps a lot. But I have just started this week, actually, met someone new for the first time. So it's going to be very interesting to see how that, I think it went reasonably well, but it's definitely, to not have met someone in person is a whole new ball game.
Yeah, I hadn't even realized that, but sure, that makes sense. And, you know, people have, I want to put this delicately here and in general terms, obviously, people have problems anyway. I mean, everybody, being a human being is not all that easy sometimes. But when you throw in a world emergency of historic proportions on top of everything,
uh-huh.
I mean, it creates, I'm sure it's creating new avenues that maybe you even haven't experienced.
Yeah, well, because we're all going through this together. So in a sense, we're all sharing something of the experience. In my work, usually, it's not that I don't have life stresses and periodic problems that crop up. I'm a human like everybody else, but that doesn't come into my work very much at all. I really focus on, you know, what the person or people are trying to share with me about their life. So here we are in a situation where, you know, again, it's not that I reveal a whole lot, but it's obvious that we're all in this together. And I know my clients ask a little more, want to make sure I'm safe, want to make sure my family's doing okay. So that's been an interesting little shift mm-hmm. To all of this in terms of my work. And I think the thing that has changed the most with the people I'm working with is certainly waves of anxiety and fear for everybody, even people who might not normally be dealing with that as a big issue in their life. So I would say that's across the board, everybody dealing with the unknown, the feeling of not being sure what the risks are and how to protect themselves, and not being sure how long this is all going to last. So that common stress is there, and so therefore everybody I work with, pretty much, I need to really pay attention to how they're handling their stress, how they're handling their anxiety. And it's something I always hold in mind in sort of normal state of affairs, but I'm very, you know, it's in the front of my mind with everybody, and how I can help before that end of that phone or video chat. Give some resources or make sure they're using their resources well.
You also touched on the empathy that people have in a two-way a two-way street, I guess, if you will. And I think that I don't know how that comes into play in your work, but it seems to me that that's something that I have found when people are anxious, when people are nervous, or they have fear, somehow they always seem to reach in, find a little bit more strength to help someone else who's in worse condition. I don't know, again, in general terms, what have you noticed maybe anecdotally going around the community on how people's mindsets are? Because we really can't, you know, we can't get up close to each other anymore. But I know when I'm out walking, on the boulevard in Gloucester, even though you can't see them smile, people will nod. You can see their eyes go, you know, in good gesture, and people will get out of the way. And I think people are being polite. So there's a general sense of, I don't know what you would call it. It's sort of an anti-anxiety thing when you're out in public saying, okay, yep, I'm in the same boat as you are, but I'm wishing you well.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right on that front. And I would say, you know, I'm just going to speak directly personally here. I've noticed that. I notice people are friendly, you know, if you're walking somewhere like you're describing, or people in the store, you have to go into the grocery store, people are trying to be really respectful about space and the fact that things, you know, things may take a little more time. So I agree, there's a little more patience. I think there's a little more social hunger, too, you know, because people do tend to be in their small family group of their household most of the time. And so seeing someone else, it's sort of a chance. I see people sort of brighten up like, oh, there's someone I don't have to be with 24/7, I think, as well. Like you said, we're all in this together. We're all going to try to help each other. I think, you know, one of the things that I have noticed among the people I'm working with is a generosity, you know, either towards neighbors, checking in with family members, you know, dropping supplies off, groceries and medications and things that are needed. So I think, you know, people are really attentive to that, the needs in their family, their needs in their neighborhood, and more so than usual because, you know, they're wondering, is everybody okay? And they're checking in more regularly. And I think that's a good thing for all of us. I do think there is a bit of a flip side to it, and I certainly have heard some fears that can, you know, among my clients, but I've also seen it a little bit on social media, kind of fears of how other people's behavior may not fit with what that person feels safe with. So, for example, if someone is out walking and they have a mask on, but they notice someone else who doesn't have a mask on, mm-hmm. I've seen, you know, kind of heard those sort of stories of increased anxiety. Why doesn't everybody wear a mask? Why aren't people staying home more? You know, why aren't people making sure they have enough space in the grocery line? So, so with the clients that I'm working with, I've used that as, well, to help them through it, but also in a general way to say, you know, we can't really control other people's behavior. If it's putting you at risk, you have to think, or if you feel you're being put at risk, you have to think, what am I going to do about this? You know, do I need to walk across the street because I don't feel comfortable seeing someone come towards me without a mask? That's kind of really up to each of us to keep our risk low and to do what we feel we need to do and not to sort of police others unless there's something, you know, really kind of egregious happening. So, and I think that's actually been helpful to people because there's a lot of, how would I say, when people feel fearful, there's a lot of wish to control their environment and to accept that there are parts, as we are in this very big way right now, there are parts of our lives and our environments that we just really can't control. And we still can do some things, but we really can't make it perfect. So I've seen some people work on that, and I think it's a good thing to work on anytime, you know, but more especially now.
Well, thank you. I guess I'll have to send my check in because that's a great advice, and I didn't... Yeah, I love it. It's sort of like Bill Belichick saying, "Do your job, control what you can control."
Yeah.
But put in the context of this and fear and so on, it's it makes so much more sense. I want to ask you, I guess, probably one more question.
Sure.
And all of this about the fear factor and so on, and what you were just saying about people saying, well, you know, wearing a mask, not wearing a mask. Back in the 50s, when, you know, the polio vaccine came out, there was no question. People, take the vaccine. That's it. This is what you do. Science says. Now we have so much conflicting information, some of it real, some of it fake, with social media, not only with social media, but also with the real media sources, you know, the news sources. There's so much conflicting information that I'm wondering if that adds to people's stress and like, what am I supposed to believe?
Yeah, I would say, the amount of information, you know, even if you just think about media in the 50s compared to now, it's such an explosion. The internet, access to and social media, which is, of course, everybody knows, you know, that they're right when they're making their posts. and so there's definitely conflicting information. And I guess what my advice would be to settle ourselves down, because when we have a lot of, again, we're already starting with a bit of anxiety and fear. What am I going to do about this thing? Should I wear a mask? Should I not wear a mask? Should I go to the grocery store? Am I at risk? So, you know, that I think is settling down more, because I think we're getting more consistent messages about that from our local authorities as well as the media. But I think in general, settling ourselves down and then try to find the facts. And sometimes one expert is actually going to have a different opinion than another expert. So we have to think, well, why are they thinking a vaccine is best? Why are they thinking a medication might be best? Why are they thinking we really just have to try to, you know, beef up the hospital ventilators and make sure the most acute care people get their help? So I think it's calming ourselves down and then listening to the information and trying to find the facts. And then we're gonna have to make our own decisions based on those facts that we've been able to pull out of all of the noise that's there on media and social media. And different people are gonna make different decisions. And I think we're also in a society where we kind of want that, right? We want the freedom to take in the information and then make your own personal decision, as well as know that sometimes we're also thinking about the entire group, like we are now with the social distancing and other, you know, the hand washing and the disinfecting and all the stuff that we're doing. So within that group, the group actions that we need to take to get through this crisis, ultimately, it's going to come back to each individual again in making some of those other decisions in the future. You know, how to have a vaccine, for example, or when they have treatments where you hear first people have their doctors as a resource, and that's an important, important place to have a conversation like this as well. Education, I guess, is the best route, and not to believe the first thing you hear, do a little research, and then think about what's best for you. I think that's the best advice I could give.
Well, as a teacher, I think critical thinking has never been more important. And Bea, this has been delightful, very informative, and great to hear you again. Is there anything else you'd like to mention?
I guess the final thing I would say, and I think this is a little bit of the kind of silver lining that I'm hearing about from a lot of people, there are a number of, I don't know if it's the majority, but it's the majority of people I hear talking about their lives. They're noticing things that they're really grateful for. They're actually noticing little, I call them gifts, that they're experiencing right now. Some of that may be time. Some of that may be a little more time with their children and family. Some of it may be, that they're noticing the waking up of nature this spring a little more than they might usually. But there are a lot of positive things that people are noticing. And a few people have shared with me that they feel a little guilty about it. They feel a little guilty because they know there's a lot of suffering going on, and maybe even in their own families, a lot of fear. And I guess, so I guess my final thought would be, let's allow ourselves to enjoy those gifts. We didn't cause this situation. We have nothing to be guilty about. If there's something we can enjoy out of it, maybe even some lessons we're going to learn for the future to make our lives a little better, then let's take those gifts and use them.
I'm writing all that down, and I'm going to do that. Thank you, B.
Well, right. It's been really fun talking to you. I hope this is useful even to one person. And, again, thanks for reaching out and thinking to ask for me to share, you know, some of my observations about what's going on.
All right, hold on 1 second here. Let me close this out. That is B. Reardon, who is a licensed clinical social worker in the city of Gloucester, and, as I said, an all-around good person.
That is going to do it for today's Connections. Along with Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell. And Rick, just peeking ahead here, tomorrow we have the superintendent of schools from Triton. And then what do we have the rest of the week?
Well, on Thursday, we should be talking with the CEO of the Shallon Lou, Tony Beadle. He's been on a couple of times with us, and he will update us as to what's going on way up in Rockport. You've got, I believe, Lori Ehrlich and on Thursday.
Yes, and we'll also check in with Diane DeSaglio, state senator up north, and Lisa Dana, the superintendent of schools from Danvers, all coming up this week on Connections.
And we're going to have more stuff, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah, at least. That's the minimum. That's the absolute minimum. Yeah, we'll have a lot more than that, absolutely.
Alrighty.
All right, that is it. Again, with Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell. Thanks for joining us, and you can always email us at msonewsports@gmail.com. MSO News Sports is a unique multimedia website providing exclusive news and sports content for the North Shore. Our goal is to keep you connected to your local neighbors throughout Essex County and beyond. We feature the best of the North Shore, and we couldn't provide this service without the powerful support of our local sponsors. Like Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury, the Bradford Tavern in Rowley. Just like us, they care about the North Shore. Check out all of our podcasts and share our website with your friends. Email us at msonewsports@gmail.com. msonewsports@gmail.com. Again, we are your connection to the best of the North Shore. msonewsports.com.